Well, you know, certainly you think about the fact that someone's calculated and thought through what they want to attempt to do. That sense of evil, in the sense that it's so premeditated and planned that it just really is a disappointment that that they have that much anger and have no other way to vent themselves except to plan to do harm to a number of people, people that they haven't met, people that they really know nothing about, but yet they're so committed that they work on this for a number of days, if not weeks and months.
Chief, as you know, John Allen Muhammad was the first person prosecuted under a new terrorism statute for capital murder in Virginia after 9/11. Thankfully, nobody was hurt in these mail bombings, but what effect do you think that the mail bombings had on the targets and the community?
Well, I think on the targets, it probably fed into their reality of being such public figures. And so I'm not sure the ultimate impact on someone like President Obama, who's, you know, for the last 10 years had all kind of threats on his life and has become accustomed to living in that kind of bubble. But I think more importantly, it just showed probably the general public, again, the real message that nobody's really safe. And I think that's the devastating part of this type of criminal activity, that it just shows people that you can do a lot of different things to try to remain safe, but then something like this just takes away your sense of safety. You know, just like in the church in South Carolina in 2015 with the 9 African Americans killed, it just shows that, you know, you can't be safe. And then the synagogue shows that you can't be safe even again in a place of worship. And so a lot of things seem to be coming together to just indicate that none of us can really be safe. But it's really sad when something like these events occur and you get the leader saying that in some ways it's the victim's fault, because if you would have had armed security, then this wouldn't have happened. And it's just a ludicrous thing to hear someone say. But again, it's just an indicator that, you know, we really don't have positive leadership at this time. And then the other reality is that this sense of safety and security is a false sense of safety and security. And so we must always remain diligent, but we also must learn to live each and every day to its fullest, because, again, the future is not promised to any of us.
Chief, Facebook and Twitter weren't even created back in 2002. Have you ever wondered how the sniper shootings might have played out differently if social media had been involved?
Well, certainly, as I look at the explosion of the social media and this, to me, it's real clear that if those had been available, then the fear would have been even greater, because people were using cable news and the regular news outlets, and the fear that was being generated was tremendous. And so you would have to double or triple that magnification of the fear factor whenever you focus in all of the messages and all of the information that would have been generated through social media. And so it's in some ways, I guess it's good for people because they get to share experiences as a result of the explosion of social media. But when the experience is something negative, when it's an experience of fear, then I'm not sure that does anyone any good.
Chief, in 2002, you communicated with Muhammad and Malvo at news conferences by talking through reporters. And I remember you had to ask reporters to please play your messages in their entirety. With the availability of social media now, do you think you would have used the same strategy in communicating with Muhammad and Malvo?
I would like to think some of the same strategies would have been in play, because I'm a firm advocate that you really solve a lot of problems in today's world through communication. And the ability to communicate with a perpetrator is vitally important to solving many, many crimes and actually solving issues of conflict, because it really is imperative that you somehow figure out what it is that's driving the person to commit certain acts of violence. So communication is critical. And so either through the media sources that we used in 2002 or through social media that the law enforcement agencies would use today, I'm just a firm believer that communication is a way to solve a lot of problems, to reduce some of the tension, and then it certainly helps you figure out what is on the mind of someone that wants to harm other people.
Chief, nowadays, whenever there's a major act of violence, law enforcement often looks at social media for clues as to somebody's motive, and often that pays off. But as you know, John Muhammad's animosity toward his wife was not well documented online. What do you think this says about the importance of so-called old school detective work in getting to the bottom of why someone's doing what they're doing?
The key to me is that everything seems to be played out in the media. And so at some point, the big fear is that the bad guys are going to figure out that this footprint that they have been so intent on leaving is going to eventually go away. Because if they really think through the fact that they don't want to be captured, then they're going to eventually reduce that social footprint. And now we've become so dependent on it that I'm afraid the old school way of actually interviewing individuals, interviewing the perpetrators, trying to dig deep into the psychological information provided in a one-on-one conversation, the skill set is somehow being devalued. And if that is the case, and if eventually the bad guys figure out that they don't want to leave a social footprint, then we could find ourselves in a real vacuum. So I think it's just going to constantly take a combination of both skills, old school and new school, because everything continues to get more and more sophisticated. As the good guys become sophisticated, the bad guys do also. So it's just going to take a continuation of all the skill sets, and you can't really depend on one or the other, because each and every case, whereas we become comfortable in thinking that they're very similar, the reality is each and every case is vastly different.